Welcome to the midweek meeting at Trinity Baptist Church, Maryport. Briefer midweek meetings than normal, but let us pray that God's blessing may rest upon us. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come into your presence through the shed blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we do so, as we look around us as your children through faith in Christ, at the land in which we live, our hearts are grieved. Whichever way we look, whatever we see, whether we look at the country's attitude to marriage or abortion or homosexuality or transgender or laws for the Lord's Day, we see at every hand the land departing from your will and sinning against you. We come before you as your children, and we cry to you for this country in which you have placed us, that you might have mercy upon us. Come and mightily work by the power of your Holy Spirit up and down this land, we pray, that many souls will be brought to faith in Christ. We pray for this part of the country we are in, here in Cumbria, the churches in Silloth and Carlisle and Workington, Ulverston, Keswick, and the little villages round and about. We pray your blessing may rest upon this county in a mighty way. We pray for the churches that we support and pray for in Carcassonne in France and Zurich in Poland, the church in northern Cyprus and in Yana in Greece, and in Nairobi, the Nairobi Chapel in Kenya. Father, bless your servants that we know of serving you in those particular churches, and cause them to honour and glorify you as your people. For ourselves tonight, as we look into your word once again, help us by your Holy Spirit to understand it, and even more so, help us to believe and practice it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you now turn with me for our reading in the Word of God, and it's found in 1 Timothy in chapter 5. I'm beginning to read at the first verse. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Honour widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed, and desolate, trusteth in God, and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge, that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken to the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works. If she hath brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation, because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth hath widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Well, may God bless to our hearts that reading from his word. On Tuesday evenings, we've been looking over a number of weeks at the use of the word learn or learned. And this evening we come to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 4. If any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. At this time when Paul's writing to Timothy, the reality was that widows had an extremely hard and difficult time. In reality, in most cases, the husband was the breadwinner. Few of them on his death would be able to get employment to support themselves. And of course, in those days, they didn't receive any help or support from the state at all. However, God, who is a loving, merciful God, cares for widows in the position they find themselves in. Indeed, in Exodus chapter 22, God sees it as a crime against humanity to afflict a widow, and he says he will hear the widow's cries. The psalmist says in Psalm 146 that God relieveth the fatherless and widow. And God made very sure that there was provision for widows amongst the people of Israel in the laws that he gave to them. In the book of Deuteronomy, in the 14th chapter, the 24th chapter, and chapter 26, we can read there how the tithe of the land, their produce, that the widows could come and have part of it. In God's prophet Zechariah, in the 7th chapter of his prophecy, we're told those who fail to care for widows as God has commanded, God will not hear their cries or their prayers. And the prophet Malachi, in the 3rd chapter of his prophecy, there God makes clear he will punish those who oppress widows. But by way of great contrast, God through the prophet Jeremiah, you could look it up sometime in chapter 7, verses 6 and 7, chapter 22, verses 3 and 4, is pleased with and he blesses those who care for the widows. And not surprisingly, we see this put into practice by God the Son when he had in human flesh. The Lord Jesus time and again showed compassion and care for widows, something which is to be carried on by Christ's church. Indeed, in the book of Acts in chapter 6, a problem broke out because of widows. The Grecian believers were unhappy because they felt that their widows were being neglected in comparison to the Hebrew widows. Now, it wasn't the apostles that set out to neglect them, but the demands of the work that they were called to do. They were called primarily to preach the word of God. And if they had given themselves to practically applying themselves to this need, that would have been affected. So we see deacons were appointed to practically make sure the widows in the church were cared for and provided for, so the apostles could give themselves to the ministry of God's word. Now here in 1 Timothy chapter 5 in verse 3, we see the church was to provide for those widows that had no support. That's the idea when it says widows indeed. those who were really deprived, those who were really practically struggling, which probably would have been the majority of them at that time. However, it goes on to tell us the Church of the Lord Jesus shouldn't be burdened with the practical expense of supporting widows if those widows have Christian relatives who can practically support them, who should want to do so as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says if the widow has children or nephews, now the original Greek word for translated nephews doesn't mean the son or daughter of your brother or sister as it would today. It meant those in direct line. So it's saying if a widow had sons, daughters, grandchildren, let those believing children and grandchildren demonstrate, show their piety, their godliness at home. In what? In providing for, caring for their parents or grandparents who were widows with very little and were struggling. They were to do that rather than letting the church do it when they were able to do so. And in doing so, they show the love and care and compassion of Christ in their care of their loved ones who, when they were young, had looked after them and cared for them and provided for them. As children, we can hardly ever repay the love and care and provision of our parents, but we should, as children, see it as a God-given duty and privilege to care for our parents and grandparents, and particularly if one is left and struggling, in any way we can. It's something God says we must learn to do. Sadly, the sinful human heart is such, it's possible for children to resent providing for, caring for parents, grandparents who may be widows and struggling. But when a believing child or grandchild does this, it's good and acceptable before God. Indeed, God, through the Apostle Paul, has a very strong word for those who are not doing this for their parent or grandparent. If you go back to the reading we had, 1 Timothy 5, it says in verse 8, if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. In other words, the professing believer by such behavior denies the faith they profess. They don't deny Christ with their words as Peter did, I know not the man. But we deny Christ by our actions, by our behavior, by neglecting our God-given duty to care for and provide for a parent or grandparent who is now struggling practically when we could. By neglecting to do this, we deny the very faith in Christ we profess. You see, while a professing believer in Christ may not outwardly with the lips deny Christ as their Savior, we can by our behavior deny, call into question whether the Lord Jesus is really our Savior at all. We can by our behavior show that while we profess faith in Christ, we don't possess faith in Christ. And by such behavior, God says we may be worse than an infidel, that's an unbeliever. You see, they don't know God's word by and large, which would require us to care for elderly parents and grandparents like this. They don't even know the Ten Commandments today, in which you're told to honor your father and mother. And they certainly don't possess the indwelling Holy Spirit to help them do as God commands. Yet when a professing believer in Christ doesn't do this, care for, provide for a parent that was struggling, and yet you see unbelievers do this, what a bad, awful, poor testimony that is. It's a sad day when an unbeliever's behavior in certain areas of life is far, far better than the professing believer in Christ. How sad if we as believers give the opportunity, the occasion, for an unbeliever to compare us with a non-Christian in some area of behavior, and for them to be truly say that non-Christian behaves better than you in that area of life. But under these verses remind us, as Christian family, Christian churches, we are to lovingly care for and provide for those struggling within our own families, whether it be parents or grandparents, maybe through none of their own fault. You know, one dies, the other's left by themselves, they don't have a very big pension or big income, and they're struggling. These verses all remind us that we are to show piety, godliness, live godly lives at home. We're to live lives at home that are pleasing and good and acceptable to God. God in his word has a great deal to say about the way we are to behave as believers at home, whether we're Christian parents or Christian husbands or Christian wives or Christian children. And when as professing believers in Christ we don't behave in that way, and we continue to not do so, then we are denying, calling into question, the reality of the faith in Christ we profess. Unbelieving husbands, unbelieving wives, unbelieving parents, unbelieving children should never ever be put off coming to faith in Christ by the behavior of the Christians in their home who are parents, husbands, wives, or children. When the Christian lives and behaves contrary to the will of God revealed in his word in their home, then they become a stumbling block to the very people they love who are unbelievers ever coming to faith in Christ themselves. The psalmist said in Psalm 101 verse 2, I will walk within my home, my house, with a perfect heart. As believers in Christ, the humbling reality is the Christian you really are is not the Christian you are at church, but the Christian you are behind those four walls at home. You're not the Christian you seem to be when you're at church, singing God's praise, praying, maybe preaching or teaching, old or young, evangelizing different people. We can appear to be ever so spiritual then, ever so holy people then to others, but it's the way we act and speak at home that shows spiritually the Christians that we really are. And perhaps this more than anything brings home to us just how much more we need to in fact spiritually grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Because the Christian we are at home is the Christian we really are before God. Not the believer in Christ we are when at church worshipping with other Christians, doing various forms of Christian service with other Christians. There used to be an old saying that a saint at church, a saint in Christian service, but a devil at home. What an awful thing that is. And really, it doesn't matter what your testimony is about yourself and what God in Christ has done for you. What would be the testimony be of your parents or your husband or your wife or your children? What would be their testimony to your Christian life? What is the testimony of those who really know you the best? Because in fact, that will be the closest to what God knows is the Christian you really are. Ask yourself, really, what value is it to be appearing holy and spiritual at church and in Christian service, but to not be that way at home? Being holy living a godly life at home may not ever carry the same weight as appearing ever so spiritual in public does. But I must tell you this, a holy, godly, obedient Christian life in the home is one that is good and acceptable and pleasing to God. Much, much more than a public appearance of godliness that in fact God knows has an awful lot of pretense within it. So may God help us all who name Christ as our Lord and Saviour to live lives as Christian parents, grandparents, husbands, wives, children, grandchildren, in the way we speak, the way we behave within the home, that is good and acceptable and pleasing to God. And then from that basis is carried on within Christ's church, within Christian service. It shouldn't be the case, but sadly it often is, but it shouldn't be. There's a contradiction between the way that we live and behave as Christians in the home, the way we live and behave as Christians in the service of the Lord and in church. Those things should match up. They should be the same. Well, may God speak to each one of our hearts through his word we've just looked at. Amen. Let us pray. Grant, Almighty God, that thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, may really be the head in all our homes. And may we, as parents, husbands, wives, children, grandparents, grandchildren, in our behaviour with our families, behave in a way that is good and pleasing and acceptable to you. And as your children, we pray, bring us safely to our eternal home in heaven. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.